Okay, Leviticus chapter 13. Now, this section of Leviticus is dealing with clean and unclean. You know, we've already been through different aspects of it. Food, last week is childbirth. And now we're talking about leprosy tonight. And this chapter deals with how to identify a leper. How to identify leprosy. Who's got it? And how to know, how to be sure about it, and then to separate them from everybody else. All right, Leviticus 13. I don't know how much of this to read. We'll just read until I think we need to stop, and then we'll stop and go on with it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, then and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him, and pronounce him unclean. And if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days. The priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And then the priest shall look on him again the seventh day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. All right, well, let's just stop right there. Yeah. There's a lot of detail there. Boy, there's a lot that we can talk about. But it's like I told you when we started all this, we're trying to just hit the high points as we go through it. And I hope you'll study on your own. I hope it'll just whet your appetite enough that you'll get in there and start seeing this stuff for what it is yourself and finding out some stuff on your own. All right, now here's what we know. We know that leprosy is the type of sin in the Old Testament. It is the picture of sin. That's what it is. This is in the law of God. It's about clean and unclean, about what's right, what's wrong, about who is right, who is wrong, who is clean, who is unclean. It's the type of sin in the Old Testament. And a leper is the type of a sinner. He's the picture of a sinner. That's what this is all about. And there ain't no argument about that. I don't know anybody that I've ever read after or anybody that I've ever known of that would argue against that point, that truth. Leprosy pictures sin. A leper pictures a sinner. So if that's true, then everything we read here applies. And there's a truth to be gleaned. There's an application to be made. That means we can look at these scriptures and get the mind of God and the wisdom of God on sin and sinners and how we should deal with them. Everybody's confused these days how you deal with a sinner. Why, you ain't even supposed to call people a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. Yeah. We'll see that as we go along here. But we know this. A leper is extremely loathsome in his person and in all that he does. He's hideous. You know, Seth remembers. We remember being in a missions conference up in Rockford, Illinois. There was a missionary there named Tommy Tillman. He was a missionary to the lepers in Asia. He had a slide presentation. He had a bunch of pictures. Oh, my soul. It's one of them things you never, never forget. The images that he showed you ain't going to forget them. Leprosy is not like you see in the little comic books. then the chick tracks and things like that. That is not what it looks like. I mean, it is absolutely horrible and repulsive. And so a leper is extremely loathsome. And although looking at a real leper is almost unbearable to a normal person, you need to realize this: a sinner is even more loathsome in the sight of God than the full-blown leper is to us. You need to understand that. We don't think that way. We think God just loves us and he's just got this warm, affectionate, huggy, kissy love for everybody. No, that's not what a sinner looks like in the sight of God. He cares for our soul, yes, for the souls of the world, even though they're lepers. This man we were just talking about, he would sit down and eat with these people. I mean, he cared for them. That's why he gave his life going to them, running a high risk of getting leprosy himself. He never stayed for long periods of time over there. He never took his family because of the danger of catching leprosy himself. Now, there's no question, there's no controversy over whether a leper is clean or unclean. When you see a leper, you don't question that fact. Nobody argues about this leper being clean. Nobody tries to defend his cleanliness because he is not clean. No. His appearance. And I know this is kind of gross, if you want to use that word. It's stomach turning, but there's more stuff we got to deal with here. It's in God's law. He's the one who wrote it, and it's just a fact of life. This is what it is. The appearance of a leper: raw, open flesh, boils, pus running out of his skin. His eyes are just sockets. He's blind. That's what leprosy does to a person as it advances. He looks like what they picture zombies looking like. That's what they look like. They're just red and bloody and wet and oozing fluid out of their body all over their skin, and infection and corruption and blood is just everywhere all over them. You're not going to look at somebody like that and say, "Well, look how clean he is. I don't mind touching him. Come here and let me give you a kiss. Let me give you a hug." You're not going to do that. You're going to be repulsed by it. Leprosy is what? It's a picture of sin. A leper is a picture of a sinner. And that's what God chose to give us, to give us an idea of the way it looks from heaven. So, you know, his missing limbs, the fluids of his body running through his open skin. This, and you know, if we read on, I'm not making this up, if we'd read the whole chapter and read on through it, and then there's more in the next chapter. But if you read through this, that's exactly what he's saying. If the raw flesh is showing, if it be an issue and all of that. So this is exactly what he's talking about. A rising, that's a boil. Or an infection in the skin. The smell of rotten flesh. All that leaves no room for anyone to defend him as clean on the inside. Nobody's going to even consider that absurd suggestion that a sinner's really good on the inside. Nobody ever said, "All of us are lepers." Not everybody was a leper. Hey, not everybody was a leper. Nobody said, "Well, you can't judge them because everybody's a leper." We're all lepers. We're all born lepers. Nobody ever said that nonsense back then. No one ever said, "You have no right to call me a leper." And nobody ever said, "Well, I may be a leper on the outside, but on the inside I'm clean." Can you imagine? You reckon that was ever an idea that was entertained back then? Of course not. The leper had no say in the matter anyway. He didn't say whether he was clean or not. It was the priest which declared him clean or unclean. And the priest is a picture of what? Who? God. He was in God's stead. He was a picture of Christ. that our high priest, that's what the priest was a picture of. He's the one who said he's clean or he's unclean. And he's the one who inspected him and looked him over and judged whether he was clean or unclean by the progression or the diminishing of the leprosy in him. So don't tell me that everybody sins and it don't matter if you're a sinner or saved or lost, you're still going to be a sinner and it's all the same and you're never going to be any different. Don't tell me that nonsense. Anybody say that kind of stuff or even think that way does not know the Word of God. Obviously, they're mixed up completely when they come to this. The law of God, they do not understand it at all if they entertain such thoughts. There's normal and then there's abnormal. There's clean and there's unclean. There's right and wrong. There's the saved and the lost. There's the saint and the sinner. Now that's the way everything is separated out. God has made it that way. There's black and white. There's up and down. And that's the way it is in this matter. You're clean or you're unclean. You're either God's child or you're not God's child. And that's what this is about. There is normal and there is abnormal. There is what is supposed to be and there is what is. There's a standard. There is a way that is right. And then there's a way that is wrong. Not everybody was a leper. Not everyone now is a habitual, continual sinner. There's where we differ, see? There's where we part ways. But I'm just preaching the gospel. The way it has always been. I can go back to Genesis. I can go back to Exodus. I can go back to Leviticus. I can go to the New Testament and it's the same gospel. Same pattern. Same pictures. Same thing. It always works the same. There's no difference in the gospel. No difference in man's sin. There's no difference in what God has done about it. These things back here were pictures of what was going to happen. Now God has done it through Christ. Not everybody is a habitual practicing sinner. And there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who are under the dominion of sin and those who are under the dominion of the Spirit of God and His Word. You either walk after the Spirit or you walk after the flesh. That's the only two categories there are. Now, one's clean and one's not. There's one camp here and one camp here. One is normal, right, way it's supposed to be, way God means for it to be. The other is not. And that's what this whole thing's about. How do you tell? How do you know? How do you know who's who? How do you know who's clean, who's not clean? Who has leprosy and who doesn't? Well, the answer now is everybody's got it. You're born with it. Well, that ain't what the Bible teaches here. Well, you got to strain everything in the world to come up with an idea like that. They who are under the dominion of sin are unclean. They who are under the dominion of the Spirit of God and the truth of God are clean in God's sight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, New Testament. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, how are you going to argue with that? You're washed. You're sanctified. That means clean. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, pronounced clean. The high priest, when a person gets saved and they're washed in the blood of Christ, they're pronounced clean. They're not a leper anymore. And we're not talking about the deliverance of the leper tonight. We're talking about identifying the leper tonight. And that's where the world and everybody else has so much trouble. I think it's real important. People, preachers can't identify them anymore. People who claim to be Christians can't identify them anymore. They're afraid to. Just like the world and their political correctness, that's how it is in the church with all the doctrine and stuff now. You ain't got no right to judge. I ain't judging. I mean, we ain't stupid. We ought to be able to tell if somebody's got leprosy or not. God made the human body with hair on it, on the head. And on men's faces, hair on men's faces. You know, most women don't have hair on their faces. It's kind of one of the big differences that God put there between male and female. Sometimes they do, but that's what kept the circuses going years ago. Freak shows. Now freaks are everywhere. Don't need the circus anymore. You can go to Walmart. If the hair's falling out, something's wrong. Unless you're old like us. You know, when the man gets old, his hair tends to fall out. That don't mean that he's got a disease. That just means that he's getting old. But hair is supposed to be on your head. And when it starts falling out or turning yellow, or if it turns white, you've all read stories about people that went gray-headed, white-headed, just overnight. Something bad wrong. Something's wrong. That ain't normal. You identify the fact that something is wrong here when your hair starts falling out. You might just have the mange. But if you do, it's wrong. You don't want the mange. Mange is kind of like a leprosy. You know, it used to be when I was a kid here in this town, there was always a bunch of old dogs. They wasn't nobody's dogs. They just lived. They laid on the corner down there across from the youth center and laid in front of Emma McDowell's store. And, you know, you'd just see them everywhere. We called them by their names, one hair, two hair, because they all had mange. And their hair would fall out and they'd have big old sores all over them where they scratched and bled and everything. Leprosy was like that, you know. I mean, I'm just saying normal, abnormal. God made skin to cover our flesh. Now, if our flesh is exposed, something's wrong. That's not normal. For your skin to just break and let your flesh show. Wouldn't you say something wrong? I mean, if you look down at your leg and there's a big old sore on it and this raw flesh is showing and the skin's laid back, you're going to say, hey, I believe something wrong here. Need to do something about this. You ain't going to say, well, look at that. That's just normal. God made our skin to be smooth and even, more or less. That's right. And so if it has boils all over it, that ain't normal. If it has infected places, discoloration, sunken places, all these are mentioned in this chapter about leprosy and identifying leprosy. If it has any of that, that's a sign that something is wrong. Y'all getting me? How do you identify a leper? Something wrong. Something is not normal. They don't look normal. Their outward appearance does not look normal. That's how you tell. That's the first sign of a leper, that you knew somebody had leprosy. You didn't sense it from what was going on inside them. When it broke out, that's when you saw it. You saw it on their skin. You saw it in their hair. You saw it on their face, on their countenance. You saw it in their body. Don't tell me the outside don't count. Don't tell me it don't matter that, you know, that Jesus said clean the inside of the platter. As long as your heart's clean, don't matter what the outside looks like. You hear that everywhere from these foolish people who don't have any understanding. And who are led by the devil if they believe such nonsense as that. The outside absolutely does matter. That's how you know. How do you know what's on the inside? By looking at the outside. It's the screen. I mean, it's the speaker, the loudspeaker. It's where the sounds and the visuals come from that tell you whether this person's a leper or not. So if he has rises and boils, you know, boils, infected places, all of that, that tells you something's wrong and you need to watch it closely. That's what they did. So we know that what a normal, clean person is supposed to look like. There are standards to go by then. Aren't there? Aren't they? Yes. There's standards. There's normal. And there's abnormal. It's not normal to be all these things that everybody's been. You know, it's not normal for a boy to think he's a girl. Or a girl to think she's a boy. It's not normal for people to, be sodomites. And weirdos. And freaks. Not normal. It's not normal. So we know that. We know that when we look on someone's outward appearance, if something is not right, you know it. Y'all stay with me here. I mean, you do it all the time. You'll do it on the way home tonight. If you see anybody walking down the street, you go in a store somewhere, you see somebody. We were in Walmart here a while back, and I sensed somebody walking by, and I didn't even pay attention. She turned around and looked, and it was a guy. He had on a full helmet on his head in Walmart walking around. Well, that tells me that's a red flag. Something wrong here. Normal men don't walk around inside Walmart with a helmet on. Well, I don't know how we found out. Did we see him in the front of the store or something? Or you seen his face through the mask? Yeah. His face was extremely badly burned. Well, when you see that, you recognize that something is not normal. So that's what they did to find out about leprosy. When people, you know, the priest didn't go around inspecting everybody, but it was the other people who saw and noticed the abnormalities. And they went to the priest with the guy. Y'all get it? This is how the thing works. Anything that varies from the standard of normal is to be inspected and watched. And when something is not normal, the person was set apart and kept from contact with other people. There was separation from them. Now, the possibility of this person who was not normal infecting others was a danger that was to be dealt with so as to prevent the spread of the disease and the sickness and the death of others. That was the day. God, in His wisdom and understanding, gave us all of this understanding here. All these words so that we could understand why and what's going on. Leprosy is spread from one person to another. It's the issues, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's the issues of a person, what issues out of him or her that defiles and pollutes other people and whatever he touches. The way God prescribes to control the spread of this disease, which is a picture of sin, is to separate those who have it from those who do not. Now, y'all need to get that. Mark that down. That's separation from the world. Being separate from sinners. Amen. Used to be commonly understood, used to be preached right here, and everybody understood the difference. You didn't act holier than thou. You didn't shun them. You didn't treat them like dirt. No, that ain't the thing at all. It's just that you are very careful about the influence they have on you, on your children, in your home, everywhere else. Because they have issues. There's stuff coming out of them that you don't want to get on you. And you don't want it on your children. And you don't want it in your mind. Leprosy was not always easy to detect, and usually took some time to determine whether the person was really a leper or not. They didn't just look at somebody and say, "That is a leper. I know he is. Surely he's a leper. Look at that." That was never the way it was done. Never. He had to go to the priest, and the priest had to look at him and inspect him and look at what the abnormalities were. And then this chapter tells us, if he detected that it was something beside, if he wasn't certain that it was leprosy, then he put him away 7 days. He separated him for 7 days. Quarantine. He was kept from everybody else. And everybody else was kept from him. And he couldn't touch nothing that anybody else was going to touch. He couldn't sit where anybody else was going to sit. He couldn't lay on a bed where anybody else was going to lay on a bed. Nobody could have any contact with him. 7 days, the priest looked at him again, see what was happening. And so on, so then 7 more days, and the priest would look at him again to determine. So it took a while. You can't be such a quick, it's just not such a quick call. There's a lot of things that can appear to be leprosy, but turn out to be something else. If you read this chapter, you'll see that. We didn't read it all, but it's in there. I mean, there's a lot of things that look like leprosy, but after you watch them for a week or two, turns out it ain't. Hallelujah. Ain't what we thought. Be careful pronouncing people lepers when you don't really know for sure. Better let time pass. Better watch it for a while. Better see how it progresses and which way it goes before you say, hey, this is leprosy. They were inspected by the priests weekly until it was determined whether it was really leprosy or just something else wrong. Until it was determined for sure that it was not leprosy, they were declared unclean and separated from everybody else. Now you hear that. Until it was determined for sure that it was not, everybody was to stay away from them. Y'all getting this, how to apply this right now? You know, things, you know, sin is that way. Also, sometimes things are not as they appear to be. And we can't make quick judgments based upon what we suspect, but have not proven. And the wise thing to do is to keep your distance until you know for sure. What's that old saying? If in doubt, don't. If in doubt, don't. That's based on a scripture. It says, he that doubteth when he eateth. I'm mixing the words up again. He's damned. He's condemned. So don't do it if you doubt. Everything a leper touches is polluted and defiled. If he drank out of a vessel, the vessel was defiled. If he lay on a bed, the bed was defiled. And whoever sat on the bed after he laid on it was defiled also. He couldn't drink from a running stream where somebody else might drink, or sit on a stone by a path where somebody else might sit. I mean, they were completely shut out of society. And that'd be much better if it was that way nowadays. Now, here's what I'm talking about. They got no place in the church. In the churches. They shouldn't be behind a pulpit. They shouldn't be teaching Sunday school. They shouldn't be a Sunday school superintendent. I've known different ones of them who were whiskey drinkers and Sunday school superintendents. You think that's right? Have a leper teaching Sunday school? Bring a leper right into the house of God? They didn't do that then. That was forbidden. No, they were set apart. You think they just put them out there and said, starve, you lepers! We hate you! Stay away from us! Is that the way it was? No. The lepers were fed. The lepers were provided for and taken care of. They didn't just put them out to die. I mean, they might get over that leprosy one day. It was possible. There was a way. Most of them didn't. But most sinners never repent either. Most sinners never get saved. They die in their leprosy, in their uncleanness, and that's it. But there's always the hope. And so it's just better and wiser, and according to the Word of God and His commandments, it's better to keep them separate from everything else. Yeah. Say, let me ask you something. What is prisons? What are prisons for? Why do we do that to people? Separate them from their families and put them in a cage. Isn't that cruel? I mean, don't they have feelings too? Yeah, they had feelings when they was out killing and raping and stealing and everything else. We put them in there to separate them from decent people so they wouldn't hurt anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't have any real problem with, you know, restaurants having a door to the kitchen that says employees only, do you? I mean, what if you went to a restaurant and everybody in the restaurant, kids and everybody was just going in the kitchen and messing in the stuff and doing whatever they wanted? You wouldn't feel very comfortable with that, would you? Well, how is it then that people don't have any problem with people that have leprosy coming into church and taking up an office somewhere and sitting in the pew spreading around their leprosy to everybody else? All right, let me see here. They couldn't come to the house of God and make offerings. They were not to do that. They were not allowed to do that. They were completely shut out from God and others. That's the true state of a sinner. You all understand that. He is shut out. Now people in their bleeding hearts and their foolish ideas and their fake emotion and fake love they may carry on about them and try to hug up to them and try to include them. And that's what the whole world's doing. See, they've made the church a comfortable place for the lepers. It just pollutes everything. All right? Woe to the society that ignores the leprosy and pretends it doesn't exist and embraces the leper as he is and allows him into their sanctuaries and homes. Woe to the people who do that. Woe to the people who give the leper access to the food and water supplies. You order Sunday school literature, do you know who writes that stuff? Mostly lepers. You got a different version of the Bible than the authorized version. Do you know who adjusted the words so that you could understand them better? Lepers. Yes. Very clearly. You can get their names. You can know their lifestyles. Lesbians and sodomites and everything else. Yes. Oh, yes. Food and water supplies. Let them have that. Let them get involved in that. Let them get in control of that. Woe to the people that do that. What's going to happen? Everybody is going to have leprosy. Woe to the people who give the leper full access to their children and loved ones. It is what the issues out of the leper that defiles and pollutes everything he touches and spreads his disease to everyone that he comes in contact with. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? All this stuff oozing out of him, coming out of him. All the stuff that comes out of him is what pollutes everything around him. Everything he touches, everybody he's in contact with. Everybody that touches something that he has touched has got it. They're affected by it. It's what's coming out of him. He's got stuff all over him. That's what makes the leper poison to everybody else. It what makes him a danger to everybody else. That's the reason he was separated from everybody else. So it is with a sinner. Everything he does, no matter how noble or how wholesome it may seem, is going to have his pollution on it. Bible translators, Sunday school literature, writers, everything. You know, people just so foolish. Oh my goodness. She said today, she said, I've seen that 2 or 3 times. It's about, you know, all the gun issue now is back up front again. Here we go again. And this thing going around that says that God never said that the rock was the problem, that Cain killed Abel. Show me where the Bible says Cain killed Abel with a rock. No, that comes from some Sunday school literature somewhere. Somebody, some leper wrote, taught all the kids. They've grown up, taught all their kids. Everybody's got that idea. Same like the idea that Jesus fell under the cross on the way to Golgotha. Find that in the Bible. Ain't in there. All kinds of things. Lepers polluted the water, polluted the food. Your Bible verses in these translations got all kinds of added stuff in them. It's the issues of a leper. It's the blood and the fluids that are issuing through his skin and out of his mouth that get on everything he touches. And that's the way it is with a sinner. Everything he does gets his pollution on it. Anything that comes out of him is going to be defiled and will defile whatever or whoever it touches. What is coming out of sinners? Y'all listening? What do you think comes out of sinners that would pollute us? Well, it ain't the blood and the pus and the infection on their skin and all that. Leprosy is a picture of sin. And a leper is a picture of a sinner. Well, here's what comes out of sinners. Perverted ideas and philosophies of life and God that are all messed up and stupid. That's what's coming out of sinners. How do they get it to you? Oh, through Facebook and children's programs and Disney and all of this. Yes, sir. I mean, we're way down the road now. They're just blatantly making and advertising now complete sodomite cartoons for the kids. completely right out in the open. Going back and redoing all the comic book characters, and Batwoman now is a lesbian, and all of this. Yeah. They're all Wonder Woman. They're all. Now they're all lesbians. They're all, you know, homos. And every other kind of thing. Where's that coming from? Lepers. It's the corruption that is coming out of the hearts of people who are infected with pollution and defilement. And if you want to stay clean, and if you don't want to die of that disease too, you better stay away from it. You better keep them out of your home, and out of your face, and out of your children's faces. That's what the issue is coming out of them now. It's corruption. What about their music? Where does all the music come from? What about this contemporary music? You say, well, it's just so pretty and it's got such good words and the message of the song just speaks to my heart. Where'd it come from? Where did it come from? Does it matter to you? You might go to McDonald's and just love your cheeseburger, and then what if the cook come out of the kitchen and he had, you know, acne and pus just running all over him, and, you know, his hands is all nasty. Would you like that hamburger that well then? It'd kind of turn your appetite, wouldn't it? But we can sit in church and people want to listen to that junk that come right from a filthy, defiled heart. Who writes them songs? I think I seen somewhere today where some Christian rapper knocked some other earthly rapper off of the top spot. Now he's got the top spot in the charts or whatever it is. Christian rapper. No, you got the same thing. There ain't no Christian about it. You got two rappers, two sinners, two lepers fighting over the same food. Ain't no Christian about it. You don't think that has anything to do with it? Does music affect you? Can music pollute your soul? You better believe it. One of the most powerful things there is to do it with. I mean, it's right there with drugs and stuff like that. It's that powerful. You going to listen to music, lepers? You going to let them sing to you? You going to let them write the music that you sing? You think we ought to have it in the church? You think we ought to have music in the church that lepers wrote? Do you? I don't believe we're obedient to God if we do. What about their entertainment? That comes from them. Who writes all these shows? I mean, where are all these ideas coming from that you see, you know, that you know about? I don't even know anymore. They talk about celebrities and stuff, and I don't have no idea. Somebody asked me the other day, you know who so-and-so is? No, I don't have no idea. I know who Barney Fife was and them kind of people, but, you know, when you get on past the point where I got saved, I quit paying any attention to all of it. I don't even know them. You know, these people talk about 80s series on TVs and stuff. I never saw any. I never saw them. I don't know nothing about them. Education. Who's educating the kids? When you go to college, what kind of education are you getting? Godly? Christian? Is it truth they're teaching? Is it virtue and morals and character they're teaching? Anything like that? No, who's teaching there? Lepers. And their corruption is all over everything that's in the place. And everybody that goes there gets it on them. I've seen very, very few. I don't know if I've ever seen any really who went to these dens of iniquity and ever come out without being messed up in their mind, in their morals, in their life because of the corruption that got all over them there. What about inventions? All these gadgets and all of the things that we have. Where do you reckon they come from? Who invented them? Lepers. You better believe it. Normalizing leprosy. That's one of the things they do too. Normalizing it. Now, who would want to normalize leprosy if it ain't a leper? If you ain't a leper, you ain't going to want everybody to just take away all the safeguards and everything. You ain't going to want lepers in the kitchen of the restaurants, in the kitchens at school. You ain't going to want lepers teaching your children, sitting by them. You ain't going to want lepers doctoring your children. You ain't going to want all that. So you're not going to want leprosy to be normalized like marijuana and drugs and drinking and sodomy and immorality. You're not going to want that. So even you go on down here in verse 47 through 59, the end of the chapter here, even the garments of the leper were to be treated as defiled and filled with his disease. I mean, I won't take time to read that. You can read that later, but it goes through the same process. If there's a spot in the garment, the priest looks at it and he puts it aside and waits 7 days and then looks at it again. And, you know, if it's woolen or linen or skin, any type of material, it tells each one about how to watch that thing and if it does this and if it does that. But you know what they did mostly with it? They burn it. That was the order. If it does this, burn it. Burn it with fire. If it does this, burn it with fire. The only way that it was saved is if it didn't do all that and they washed it with water and the spot went away. If that happened, then they were to wash it again and then it would be pronounced clean. Otherwise, it got burned up. Jude, verse 23 says, and others saved with fire. Saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. There you go. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So if you got a garment, if a leper's got a garment on, it's going to have leprosy in it. So here, just think with me a minute. The priest was to inspect them weekly to see how the abnormality progressed, and the garment was to be burned or the bad spot torn out, rend it from the garment, it says, depending upon how the evidence of the disease progressed. Because sin doesn't just sit still. You don't just commit one little sin and that's where you stop and that's where you stay and there's no difference and nobody finds out and it's all okay. It doesn't never work that way. It's like a disease, a pollution. And it's like a seed that's planted and it grows. It don't stay the same. If it's leprosy, there's going to be some obvious, visible changes. Mark that. That's why it's so important to catch it early. So then you can do something about it. The only way the garment was saved is after washing it with water, the leprosy disappeared. Then it had to be washed again, and it was declared to be clean. So if you have leprosy inside, it's going to show on the outside. You can look at the guy's clothes and tell he had leprosy. Y'all didn't get that. Did you? So you don't think clothes have any importance, huh? Most people don't. They don't think it matters at all. I mean, it don't matter if you have clothes or not have clothes. You can go plumb stark naked now. Now ain't nobody got a right to judge you. Christian women down at the beach, triangle bikinis. Now, that's leprosy. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I can recognize leprosy when I see it that blatant. The only way the garment, all right, so it'll be apparent in the clothes you wear if you're a leper. Your clothes say it for you. We used to have a book. Was it John R. Rice's daughter wrote that book? I think so. Your clothes say it for you. You circulate around. Women in the church would read it. Everybody believed that way. Thought that was right. Well, those were the old days when lepers were separate a little more than they are now. So it'll be apparent in the clothes you wear. Anyone who wears leper's clothes will be a leper themselves before long. Amen. So now there's a way for a leper to be cleansed and not be a leper anymore. That's in the next chapter here. But until a leper was cleansed, he was kept at a distance and separated from all that were not showing the signs of the disease. Man, this is just plain old wisdom and common sense. You know, people now think, they talk about 5 and 6 year old kids. Well, now, you know, they're going to see the world and they're going to be exposed to it. Might as well let them see it. Yeah, tell them all about all the facts of life. Let them watch sex on TV. Fools. Wicked fools. No, you better keep them lepers at a distance. Yes, sir. I'm not talking about hating people. I'm not talking about shunning people. I'm talking about keeping them at a distance. I mean, learn not the way of the heathen, said God. He said, don't marry them. Don't have anything to do with them. Keep them at a distance because they'll turn your heart away from me. You'll get what they got. And it happened over and over and over. It still happens today the same exact way. But when the leprosy broke out and made its presence known, he was brought to the priest. So what are we supposed to do about sinners? Pray for them. We're to take them before the throne of grace. Take them to Jesus. He's the high priest. He's the one that says, anyway. He's the one that determines whether they have leprosy or not. He's the one that'll determine when they're clean and when they're not. It's not when they pray their prayer at the altar that we know. No, we don't know. The high priest makes it evident. Yeah, he does. He declares them clean. Yeah. All right. That means that other people noticed and brought the matter to the person who was appointed by God to discern and determine what was wrong with him. Everybody noticed something wrong with him. We do that, don't we? We watch young people. I mean, boy, you ain't got much going for you if you can't watch young people nowadays and notice when something's wrong. And what are you supposed to do? Try to fix it yourself? Here, come here, I'll cut that leprosy out. No. You're supposed to take them to the high priest. Bring them to Jesus. That's what they did in the New Testament. They brought them four, brought that man to Jesus. Couldn't get to him for the press, so they broke up the roof and let him down by ropes. Got him to Jesus. If you can just get to Jesus. If we can just get them to him, he can deal with their leprosy. We can't. We're powerless. We don't even know how to recognize it. For sure. We think we do, but anyways, we might be wrong. There's things that look like leprosy that turn out not to be leprosy. So be careful. There was a God-ordained authority about the matter of determining what was leprosy and what was not. You understand what I'm saying to you there? It was not the people who decided each one for themselves. Well, I don't believe that's leprosy. I don't have to listen to you. There's 10 of us that say it ain't. What do you think about that? I mean, we got more people in our church than you got in your church, and we don't believe that's wrong. It wasn't that way at all. It's what the priest said, not what the people said. It's what the priest declared, not what the people thought or wanted or desired. If they'd done it that way, the whole congregation would soon have been lepers and everyone would have been infected. If they'd done it that way, that's exactly what would have happened. There was no other way for the leper to be accepted back into society and fellowship than what was prescribed by God in His law. There was no other way. This is the only way that there is any hope for him. For his life to continue without being an exile and dying exiled from everybody. The only hope he's got is to do it this way. First thing he's got to do is know he's a leper. Acknowledge the fact. And you know, I'll throw a little thing in here, and it really belongs in next week, but it is in this chapter. One of the things was, I was telling her, if he comes to the priest and the priest looks at his skin, if he's got this rising, or if he's got this, or if he's got open flesh or raw flesh and all of this, but it said this, listen to this, said that if he had leprosy throughout his body, if he was completely eat up with it, the priest would pronounce him clean. And what do you think about that? Well, here's the answer. I mean, as long as you come to God saying, well, I know I got a little bit of leprosy, but I mean, the rest of me is good. As long as there was other parts that were good, he was unclean. But the only way that he could be clean is when he recognized and acknowledged that there wasn't a clean place on him. He was altogether lost and no good. I don't know if y'all understand that or not. You ain't going to get saved. You ain't going to get cleansed from leprosy until you acknowledge that there is nothing good in you. That you are completely a sinner, lost, without hope. And you got nowhere else to turn. And there's no place else for you to run to. And that if you're going to be saved, it's going to have to be through the priest. All right, until they're cleansed from their leprosy, those who are not lepers are to keep themselves at a safe distance and to be very careful not to let any issue out of the leper touch them. Once you see a real leper, full-blown leper, you'll want to stay away from him. You won't want to touch him. And the only reason that you would is if you don't have any idea what it is. Amen. All right, there's some information from God about how to identify a leper. It ought to help us. It ought to help us right now in our life. We're in a sinful world, eat up with leprosy. Better be careful what you swallow that they give you. Better be careful rubbing shoulders with them, eating at their table. It's a contagious disease. Yeah. Amen. Well, I stand. I'll quit. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truths that are here. Helps us. Oh, it helps me. Pray it'd be a help to somebody tonight. I know, Lord, that it's people can get confused in all this matter. Pray everybody just understand. This is a picture of sin. A picture of a sinner. This disease that they talked about back then still exists in the world. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to apply, make the application in our life here, that we'd be separate from this world and walk and live holy before you. And Lord, that we would do that in order that we might be a help to those who have leprosy, the leprosy of sin. Lord, help us, give us understanding. Make it clear, I pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.